You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Talking Sex.
Hello, Dr. Eve.
So nice to be with you again.
Oh, there
you
are.
I missed you last week, yeah.
I missed you too.
Yeah, lovely. Are you feeling well rested and pampered and
not
happy?
All that well rested. I mean, I was off radio, but I was also doing some other work, so it wasn't really a holiday break. But I'm in good spirits. How are you?
I'm actually just come back from a wedding. I drove through this morning from Caledon. Interesting to go to traditional weddings, and I was thinking of our topic today as I sat through the ceremony because a couple tried to do something a little less traditional, which was refreshing and lovely. But you know, one still slips, you see, back into the monoheteronormative traditions that we just take so for granted. And I think kind of it blends into what we're talking about today, of how we have the confusion and the incredible liberation of being able to express ourselves differently, and how somehow there is just so much fear and real stigma to doing that, which is why we settle back into something that we know doesn't really contain us or doesn't really meet all of our needs. And so we're focusing today on non-binary, but there's so many different aspects to non-binary that you and I decided we're just going to focus on sexuality and gender today.
Yeah.
But I know that in a few weeks' time, we're going to also going to focus on non-binary relationship structures. So it's like a beginning of a conversation where we're wanting people to think out their boxes.
Yeah.
Get out the pink and blue. Throw them away.
Absolutely. And this is an opportunity for you to learn and also to call in and to share your experiences. If you fall outside of certain normative categories that we naturalize, and then you have all sorts of hegemonies that come out of that. And there are also words that you may not understand, concepts. Mm. We want to explain that. There's no such thing as a stupid question, as a shameful question to ask. The hyphenated word non-binary itself, many of you don't know what it means. Dare I say it? I even have gay friends who often lampoon the concept of non-binary. So there's a lot here in the first instance to understand and to be educated around, which is why this latest blog entry from Dr. Eve is so important. And we're going to have, of course, the radio version of it right now. But throughout this conversation, please be a part of it. Give us a call. Ask whatever questions you want. And if you find yourself being described in what we're about to explain, and you go, my God, finally, there's a language that goes with what I am feeling and experiencing, and you feel courageous enough and up for it, share with us what it is like to move through the world with your body, your identity, your expression, when you have, from the day you were born, told inadvertently through social coding that you are unnatural or unacceptable in terms of your identity, orientation, and all sorts of other aspects of this non-binary conversation. 011-883-0702.
702.
Talking Sex.
Now, that's so many interesting places where we can start.
Yeah, you just said that so beautifully. I just want to thank you for
Shall
that.
I quit while we're ahead? Thank you for the show. Enjoy your weekend. There's so much in your research and the research you've uncovered that really fascinated me. You know, as gay people, especially as gay men, we always used to think like we're the gold standard of being queer. Mm. And yet it's so interesting how there are many people who are now identifying as non-binary, but not necessarily, for example, as gay or even as lesbian. And that spectrum is really being taken seriously. We've often referred to the spectrum for a couple of decades now, but the lived reality is now actually matching that kind of language.
Yeah. So my colleagues, Meg John Barker and Alex Ntafi, his latest book is called Life Isn't Binary, On Being Both, Beyond and In Between. They don't talk about a spectrum. They even reject that now, you see, and they talk about a landscape. And I think it's just give a very brief historical context to the listeners of how we've evolved from moving into what was familiar of the boy-girl, the binary of either you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what non-binary is that we don't divide the world into either or anymore. It's either or and but. And then it moved from that. There was a lashback of people's behaviors have always reflected something different, always. But there's been so much stigma, and there's been criminalization and stoning and killing of people who would present themselves as anything but binary, either boy or girl, or loving opposite sex. But through historical and most recent historical, during the time of feminism, where women stood up and said, you know, we want to be the same as men, there was this very strong binary of women moving into like male positions. So once again, it was male-female. And then because of internet, and also very much because of the human rights movement, very strong human rights movement universally, people took up the position of actually we don't want to fit into one of those boxes. And because there's so many communities online where people could engage and find out exactly what you were saying, that by listening to other people could begin to identify themselves as being other than either or, male or female, or loving the same sex or opposite sex. So we've moved so much beyond that. And what the first piece of research stats that I'm going to tell you, I think is quite mind-blowing, because it was really mind-blowing for me when I first heard it, is that nearly half of young people today see themselves on a spectrum in the landscape of sexuality between homosexuality and heterosexuality. They identify as bisexual. So bisexual is being used interchangeably with binary, meaning that I'm neither or I am both. And over a third of people experience themselves as being the other gender, both genders, or neither gender. Mm. So I just want to clarify the difference between sexual orientation and gender.
Yes.
Between sex and sexual attitudes and sexual orientation, sexual behavior and sexual role and sexual performance. We really need to be doing that so that our listeners can begin to identify themselves and say, you know, what am I? And we're talking here about sexual orientation, which means, how do you identify in terms of, are you gay, lesbian, bisexual? Are you aromantic, asexual, pansexual, sapiosexual? There are so many different labels and terms for self-identification in terms of who you are attracted to, who you fantasize about, who you want to be in relationship with, who you want to be sexual with, and how you see yourself.
Can I just stop you there? I just want to, my apologies there. Yeah, I just want to slow you down there a little bit.
Go.
So, is there a difference now between sexual identity and sexual attraction?
No. So within sexual identity, there is a self-proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am gay, or I am asexual, or I am bisexual. And then it is, well, okay, so then who are you attracted to? Well, actually, I'm sometimes attracted to men. I'm sometimes attracted to women. I'm sometimes attracted to trannies. So I could be attracted right now to a man, even though I identify as being straight.
Mm.
I could be attracted to a woman because sometimes I watch porn. Even though I say I'm a heterosexual woman, I watch porn with women masturbating or with lesbians, and that really arouses me, but I shouldn't really because I say that I'm straight. And then who do I actually have sex with? What's my sexual behavior? Well, I do mostly have sex with men because I identify as being heterosexual, but I also sometimes enjoy a threesome with a woman.
Mm.
So what is my identity? And that's a question we want our listeners to go to. Sexually, how do you identify? Sexually, who do you think about? Who do you fantasize about? And who do you actually have sex with? And who do you want to be in a relationship with? Because you can be identifying as a gay man and say, I don't want to live a gay lifestyle, whatever that may mean, because that has a certain amount of stigma to it and people don't want to be associated with that. So you may say, and I don't know what to do, so I'm going to stay married to my wife who I've been with for 30 years because I don't want a gay lifestyle. But I'm only watching porn with men, and I'm only jerking off to men, and I'm only kind of following men and having once-offs with them in public toilets. So who are you? And does it matter?
Hmm.
It matters because it could cause harm to your own sense of self and your mental health and to the relationships that you're in.
Is
that overwhelming?
No, it's not overwhelming. In fact, there's a very non-overwhelming version of what you've just said that was making the rounds on social media last night, where one person had asked the question, what is the worst rumor you've heard about yourself? And a guy with a very funny account that he runs on Twitter responded that the worst rumor he's heard about himself is that I'm gay. Brew. One little relationship with a gent, anal year and there, and suddenly I'm gay.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said. So but it raises an interesting question. You know how much I love identity politics, right? And I fight with it in the broader South African discourse as important and as not inherently toxic. Despite that, how much does sexual identity matter? Because the behavior is what's important, and fighting back against stereotypes about which behavior is normal, ethically permissible, that's where the activism work and the reproductive and other kinds of justice work need to come in terms of behavior and not pathologizing certain, you know, attractions and orientations and behavior. Is identity still important?
Totally, totally, totally important. I'm with you on that. It's absolutely important. So I'm sounding like I'm contradicting myself in that identity. We shouldn't have labels, but we do. And the reason why we need to have an identity is because we all need to feel a sense of belonging and connecting. Mm. We need to find our people. We need to find our tribe. So when you find somebody who says, yeah, I'm also pansexual, you know, I'm sapiosexual. Sapiosexual means that I'm really fully only aroused with men who are really smart. So that's, you know, we have a name for everything, okay? So when I find another sapiosexual, it's like, oh, yes, instantly wet. This is fantastic, right? So it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be sexual with other people, but it just means that that's going to be my highest form of arousal. So I would want to identify with that because it makes me feel mentally well. It makes me feel sexually healthy. So it is. It is important that we have identification, which is what gets people into trouble. And that's why we have shows like this, to give people what you started out by saying, the permission to be able to say, that's me. I'm a guy who's married and I'm sneaking off and maybe I'm putting myself at risk for HIV, STIs, or I'm going to infect my partner, or I have infected my partner, or I'm a young person. And we'll move into gender, because I don't even know if we can kind of move into that. As you said, we could do another whole show on that. What is my gender? How do I identify? So it becomes incredibly confusing, and we all like clarity because need to have good mental health. So I'm with you on identity politics. We want to feel proud in standing up or phoning in and saying, actually, this is how I identify. I'm confused around this because I'm acting differently and I'm attracted to different people. Just too often where I get people saying, and recently I had a woman say, well, I kind of watch porn with just women. We've heard on radio, even men phoning in and saying, I watch porn of trannies, which is men with dicks. Listen to me. Women, men who have dicks, still men who dress up as women, but have dicks, chicks with dicks. So there's guilt. We want the guilt to go and to be able to say, how do you manage to live your life in authenticity with your identity that you've claimed for yourself? And has your identity changed over time? Because you have the opportunity today to be less stigmatized. There are policies to protect you.
Absolutely.
About being different.
19 minutes after 11, I really want to hear from you because I'm not terribly, terribly curious about how you identify in terms of your sexual identity. And also whether there's a match between your behavior and whatever identity label you attach to yourself, because we all like to belong to a tribe, as Dr. Eve nicely encapsulates. But what's also interesting, and we're going to share some results about that in a second, is that your sexual identity doesn't always perfectly match your sexual behavior. What are some of your experiences? How do you identify? Do you struggle with labels? How do you get received for labels that you've adopted that aren't mainstream? And do you see yourself as non-binary? And how does that actually play out for you on the dating circuit, the dating game, your friends? And when people ask you, so what are you into? What's your orientation? How do you answer that question? We'd love to hear from you. And has it changed for you over time, especially over the last year or three, as there is, I think, a shift towards a slightly, it's a slow shift, but a observable shift towards a slightly more expansive and a more liberal understanding of these identity labels, as that is happening, as it suddenly allowed you to have an aha moment that you can actually force your way out of binaries that are often imposed on us. 011-883-0702. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, you can share your story. It's a non-shaming space. You can learn. If you're confused, Dr. Eve will do her best to help you out. Or you can leave us a voice note on 072-702-1702.
702.
Talking Sex.
One thing I loved about the research you are unearthing is the other thing, despite the dominance of patriarchy in the world, it's amazing how girls and women are often ahead of boys and men, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah. So share with our listeners how interesting the data is when it comes to the idea of concordance. First, explain that in simple English, and then the interesting differences, especially between men and women.
So concordance would be congruence or integration, where I am a cisgender person. In other words, I am born with female sexual characteristics, and I feel in my lived body as I express myself. I feel comfortable with that expression. So concordance would be that there is a matching between how I identify as a heterosexual person and who I'm attracted to, which would be, as a heterosexual person, you would then be attracted to men mainly. Discordance is when there is an identity as being gay or lesbian, and yet you really like to be with a man occasionally. Or would it be discordance if you identify as a lesbian, but you like your partner to wear a strap-on dildo and to penetrate you? So does that upset you? Or do you then say, well, am I really a lesbian? Or will a partner say, well, you're not really a lesbian, because actually really all you want is, you know, you want a penis. And I feel very insulted because you're not a true lesbian. So there's so many politics that are woven into this. So what the research shows is that the concordance, meaning the mutuality between sexual identity, how you identify, and your attraction, who you're attracted to, was in this one study 94% and 96%, which is really great for heterosexual people. But women, as you say, are leading the pack. Let's start it with women are more likely to identify as LGBT than men. And this gender gap keeps expanding year after year in different polls. In 2017, 5.1% of women identified as LGBT compared to 3.9% of women. Now, these are studies men. These are studies that are done especially on young people, because younger people, the millennials and your Gen X's, your ones who are coming up, they have the total liberation, having been born to internet lives, of being able to position themselves differently. And most commonly, they're identifying themselves as bisexual. And mostly the women are doing that, which is really fascinating. And we see the same reflected in the concordance with women. Women and sexual minorities say that they have greater discordance across sexually related measures than men, meaning that they may be seen as women, but actually part of them feels as if that's not really their gender, or they are not heterosexual. They enjoy being in that landscape of different binaries and different attractions and presenting themselves differently as well into the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really, really, really fascinating. Share your experiences with us on 011-883-0702, 011-883-0702. And of course, alternatively, you can leave us a voice note on 072-702-1702.
702.
Talking Sex.
Okay, let's take our first caller we have in this really interesting discussion. Steve, good morning to you.
Hi, CBS. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to find out if, let me say, I'm openly saying that I've opened up that I'm being gay, But then when I'm in a relationship, I found out that I still miss being in a relationship with a girl. So how does it work? Because now you seem like you're confused, because we meet a girl and then you miss being with a boy. We meet a boy and then you miss being with a girl. That's a confusing life.
Okay, so let me just get it straight, pardon the pun. Are you in fact self-identify as gay, Steve? Are you gay?
Yes.
Yeah, some of my best friends are gay too, even my boyfriend. But occasionally, sometimes you, if you see someone as hot as Dr. Eve, you would mack on her.
No, maybe I'm not even macking, but just there's that feeling that you know, because I've been with girls before. So that's the thing that you're missing with a girl, even though you, full-time year is you are in with somebody.
Okay. And what question does that raise for you, even if it's academic and not necessarily one that makes you lose sleep? Does it make you wonder whether you are quote-unquote truly gay, whether you're bisexual? What is your curiosity in relation to that?
It's confusing because now even the person who leaves doesn't know you, like, what kind of a person you are. Like, it confuses me also because I don't know how to handle that, because maybe I've come up and told people, like, this is who I am. Mm. And then in a few months' time, then maybe probably I can bring somebody else, and then people ask you, and then what do you want?
I hear you. So, Dr. Eve, Steve thought he belonged to the tribe gay, and then he met you. Right. What now?
Yeah, I guess, Steve, you would identify as non-binary, meaning that you are flexible and fluid, and that you would be bisexual because you are attracted to women sometimes, you're attracted to men sometimes, so you're attracted to both or both genders. Question that I have for you is that when you're in a relationship with either a girl or a boy, do you let them know beforehand that you're non-binary, that you're bisexual? Or do you go in and say, I'm gay, but you're going to straighten me out when you're with a girl? I mean, how honest can you be?
I am honest about it. It's just that the problem is the feeling that you get when you meet that person now. Because obviously you have to be honest now, thinking about having to meet another person while you're in a relationship. Because of that need that you might be feeling at that time.
Do you feel attracted? I mean, what makes you get into a relationship with a woman? Is it because you have social pressure or because you really feel attracted to that particular person, woman?
Probably I am attracted to the person conversation-wise. And also sexually, you feel like you need that. Like, I don't need to be with a guy right now. I need to be with a woman.
So then you're able to be sexually aroused and sexually attracted to a woman.
Yes.
And then when you're with that woman, you are happy to be there until the relationship has died or ended? Go ahead.
For example, I'm in a stable relationship with a woman. I'm in a stable relationship. I'm happy. But then there's that feeling that I wish I could meet a guy.
Okay, so then does it become like a frustrating thing, like I really would like to have sex with a guy, or I want to be in a relationship with a guy? Which one is it?
No. I would just have one. Because you're happy in a relationship. You just have to feel like, I wish I could just meet this person and have this feeling taken away. Because you're happy with a relationship, so that you want that extra that's going to make you sound like maybe you're not honest or you're a cheating person. I don't know.
No, you're not cheating. You know, you've been incredibly honest right now and brave. I just want to clarify. So when you are happily in a relationship with a woman, you then feel that you'd like to be sexual with a man. I just want to get clarity on that. Is it just like, I just want to have some sex with a guy?
Yes, but maybe I'll end up able to be just if I look at another something like that, because I miss that. But that doesn't mean I'm tired of the person I'm with. Just the feeling of missing something. But the person I'm with, I'm happy with.
You know, I know we're out of time, but I'm curious, are you tired of the person that you're with because she's a woman or because you're just done with the relationship?
No, I'm not tired of the person I'm with. I'm happy, but I've got that feeling of wanting extra.
It sounds to me, I mean, we'll come back to this call. We can put Steve on hold, but it does sound to me like Steve is bisexual.
Totally. I mean, absolutely. And I kind of want to look at a solution for that, of how to manage that situation, because I think this is quite typical.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll come back to that in a second, because I think it is important. There's some issues there worth just puzzling through a little bit more, Steve. And we'll see whether we can just hold on to you for a second or two. It's 11:30. I don't know whether bisexuality makes an appearance in the EWA News headlines. Fiso?
No, it doesn't.
7:02.
Talking sex.
17 minutes before noon, we are talking sex indeed. So this is adult radio, as always, the last hour of the week. And we're just talking about, non-binary and ways in which you may identify outside of the normal labels. And I say normal in heavy scare quotes, because those are social constructions and they've been imposed on us. Either you're a boy or a girl. Either you're straight or straight. And actually, that's not quite the reality for many people the world over. And finally, I think we are beginning to be a bit more sensible, not just progressive, but quite frankly, rational and sensible, to allow people the freedom that they have inherently to choose their own sexual identity and to be able to live authentically and with integrity in terms of their sexual attraction. What comes up for you as you've heard this discussion with Dr. Eve leading us, as always, based on research? Give us a call on 011-883-0702. Are you feeling confused? Are you not feeling confused, but the world has not been ready for you to tell it what you are feeling and experiencing? Have you changed your sexual identity? We'd love to hear from you as well. We still have Steve on the line, Dr. Eve. Now, I think we need to wrap up this call and give others a chance as well. But my sort of from the peanut gallery take, Steve, if I may, and Dr. Eve can respond after my comment. It sounds to me, Dr. Eve, that Steve is bisexual and that's okay. Is there really much more to be said?
I think it's more about how to manage it so that there is safer sex and there is safer hearts that are happening, Steve. So to be, the first step is always to self-identify and to come out to yourself. And I hear, you know, you've come out as an openly gay guy, which is a really brave thing still in today's world. But to maybe think about going to some reading, research, read my blog, just keep reading wherever, and learn what bisexuality is, and perhaps that you'll be more comfortable with that label so you don't feel shame and guilt if you are watching porn with men or actually even wanting to have a sexual relationship with a guy. And that's where we'll move into the next few weeks, talking about non-binary relationships, into the liberation of talking about open and polyamorous relationships where you have permission in a consensual way to be enjoying a nice relationship with your girlfriend, and then also having an agreement in place that I can have a sexual experience with men, and what does that really mean? And we'll talk about that in another show.
Steve, how are you feeling?
I'm hip with it. Thank you so much for your
service. Thank you, my man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing. Really appreciate that. Kahi, so good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, David. Good morning, Dr. Eve.
Hello, Kahi. So,
I just want to know about my sexual identity, which is being asexual. I often find myself in certain places whereby I am not feeling any sexual attraction to any gender. So, my family and my friends are, they're just having an understanding about my sexual identity. So, can you please help me and please give me more knowledge about asexuality?
So, it sounds like you've taken that on, you've done some reading, and you've defined yourself as asexuality, which in a clinical term definition would be that you are not driven or interested to be having a sexual relationship with somebody, but you might be even masturbating on your own or having a romantic relationship, an intimate relationship with somebody of male, female, or other gender. Would that fit with how you're feeling?
Yes. I'm currently in a relationship with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She also understands about my sexuality.
So you're in a relationship with her, and are you being sexual with her at all?
Not at all.
Not even in the beginning phases when you first met?
We met at a local shopping complex. It was a fairy tale to start, but hey, she told me that, okay, you know what, I'm straight, and then you are, and then I was like, I am a sexual guy, so, and then he was like, what is asexual, and then I was like, okay, cool, asexuality means that I'm not attracted to any gender, But asexual people may be involved in romantic relationships, and some of them may not be involved in romantic relationships. Then she was like, okay.
So is she accepting, or does she still expect to have some kind of sexual relationship with you, Kahiso?
Yeah, she's patient enough.
She is patient enough. she's accepting it?
Yes.
So you two are in a sexless relationship, a romantic relationship?
Yes. I mean, a romantic relationship.
Okay. And is there an understanding that she can be sexual if she would like to be sexual with other people?
Well, that's her own will, but then from my point of view, well.
No, I mean, I'm hearing your voice change into tension, and you see if he's laughing. So we have some patriarchy here, huh? Some toxic masculinity or what, Kagiso? So you have set the standard for the relationship. You've set the standard of this is going to be a sexless relationship. And she says, okay, that sounds cool, nice romance. You probably cuddle on the couch, Netflix and chill. And then you're also controlling her sexuality by saying she can't be sexual with anyone.
Well, she can.
Yes.
I'm not contradicting myself, but then yes, she may be able to express her sexuality in kind. I have no problem with that.
So I'm confused. You have no problem with her being sexual with somebody else?
No, with me. I'm sorry, with me.
With you.
But so what is the source? I'm struggling to understand what the source of conflict then is for you, Kagiso.
Sir?
What gives you conflict? What are you struggling with?
What gives me more conflict is that I'm just having my own ideas about if any woman who's trying to express her sexuality, well, and I mean, fine. But then when it comes to me, yeah, it's me, I'm her boyfriend.
I'm not really getting this. So you will be sexual with her when she wants to be sexual?
Yes. It's on her.
So you're available to be sexual with her when she wants it?
Yes, ma'am.
But you just don't initiate it. You're not interested in initiating it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, and when she does initiate it, say she initiates it every day or twice a day or once a week, you're up for it?
Yeah, I don't mind. I really don't mind.
Okay, so maybe what we're dealing with is just like a difference in desire.
That's exactly what I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, that maybe it's not that you're asexual because it sounds like you enjoy the sex that you have. It's just that you're just maybe not as keen as she is or just not motivated.
How should he approach that, Dr. Eve?
I think they're doing pretty damn well by just neither of them are being upset by it. And if she feels free to initiate it and he's agreeable most of the time, there shouldn't be any difficulty with it. So just here is where we talk about identity politics. Be careful of labeling yourself as asexual.
Exactly.
Because you started out the conversation feeling like quite shameful. That's not useful for you.
Absolutely. We've got 2 minutes left. Let's play a quick voice note and squeeze in one more call if we can, Abel. Listen to this one.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. It's Joe here, and I'm listening to Dr. Eve. I'm listening to you guys talking. I am a female, 52 years old, and identify as a lesbian. But for many, 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 many years, I had to identify as straight because basically back in the day, our society just didn't accept it. So for a good part of my life, 36 years of my life, I identified as straight. I got married. I had a child. And then at the age of 36, I said to my then husband, I need to be true to myself and I need to live the life that I believe is what I am. And, so amicable divorce and all of that, but now I'm living my I am true to myself. I'm living a good life. I'm proud now to walk around and say, Fiona is my wife. So wonderful. Thank you so much for such an interesting show. I really do enjoy 702. Thank you so much and have an awesome, awesome weekend.
Thank you. I've really got nothing to add to that. A perfect example of what Dr. Eve meant by finding your tribe is important for many people. You could come out in your marriage and stay within it, but obviously that's a classic example of Dr. Eve of why it is a much deeper issue for so many people.
And mental health issue, a really big mental health issue of how perhaps Joe was labeled as depressed or even was put on medication.
Exactly.
And all other kinds of mental health diagnoses when actually she was just not able to be non-binary.
Yes. Yeah. Stunning show, complex, but we have done extremely well. If you want to know more, go to dreve.co.za and go read the blog entry. There's a lot more there. There's questions of language as well, non-binary language. We didn't even get into that, and I knew we wouldn't, but we'll come back to it in the weeks ahead. Thank you so much, Dr. Eve.
Thank
have
you,
a beautiful week ahead.
You too. Bye.